Everybody, welcome to Talking Games with Tim and Clayton. I am one of your two hosts, Tim Dunn. That's my co-host.
It's Clayton.
And this past weekend was Clayton's birthday.
Yeah!
Yay!
Give him a little list of the games you got.
Okay. All right. All right, folks, strap in. This is what you came for.
If you're in a loose seating position, strap in.
You are going to lose your mind.
We can't stress this enough.
So... well, I think I've already talked about a couple of the games on here. I got Splinter Cell Blacklist from my dad a few weeks ago, after he bought it for himself by accident.
Uh-huh.
Then I got Brothers and Gone Home from my mom, which
yes.
was really nice.
Because she's a girl, and that's a girl's game.
that's right. And then I bought myself Saints Row 4 that's a lie. My mom sent me like $50, and Saints Row 4 was like on sale. So
oh,
like,
nice.
All right, I will put this money towards yet another game. Not realizing that a good friend of mine, Mike Classic, who has expressed interest in being on the show just to like talk about how much he... kind of thinks we're idiots for having a video game.
He's
podcast.
Brought that up to me
He's
before. Brought,
he likes to do that. But he bought me Enslaved Odyssey to the West, which just came out on Steam.
Yeah, that's pretty great, yeah.
Yeah, I've always heard great things about it, so I was like, wow, that's awesome. It's really specific. So, yeah, he did some homework into that. I was like, oh, I was very touched.
And let's see what he thinks about those games. Our guest, JT Butler, everybody.
Yeah!
Hey, guys.
I wasn't totally done.
Oh, keep going.
No, yeah, please.
Well, today my sister bought me Guacamelee.
Oh, yeah.
On Steam, which I haven't played, but I hear is great. And The Stanley Parable.
I've got the demo for that.
The demo's so good!
Yeah, it's fucking badass.
The demo is amazing!
How far does the demo go in? Because it's not a long game, but there's many like branching paths, right?
The demo is basically like its own thing.
Okay,
I feel
gotcha.
Because like. It's like, we know why you're here. You're here for the demo of The Stanley Parable. Well, let me tell you, it's going to be amazing. And like, showing you all the stuff they couldn't use.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff like, it's so nuts.
That's
it's
cool.
great.
JT Butler!
JT Butler, everybody! I stole his thunder! Stolen!
You wouldn't be the first.
We always start out the same way. As you know, this is your second time, JT. You joined the club with... Who's been on twice? Kellen? Kellen's been on like 5 times, though, to be fair.
Kellen's like the Steve Martin of this show.
Who else has been on? Mark Coulomb?
Yeah, I know.
You know,
some
other two timers. Yeah. You're part of the two time club.
Yeah, that's a pretty good feeling.
So you already know. We always start out the same way, and that is, what are we playing? JT, what are you playing right now?
Well, since my copy of Grand Theft Auto 5 got fucked up, I know. I'm so pissed. I've been watching YouTube tutorials and just like seething over how to buff out a disc.
How far into it are you?
I got to the second Lester mission, and then it died.
Yeah.
What happened was I had that fucking issue where the hard drive and the USB drive, like you couldn't install the game disc to the USB drive.
Yeah.
So as I was fixing that, I was like, okay, this will be fixed. I bought a USB drive. I came back home and it started like just restarting. So
yeah, that was the Xbox 360 problem, right?
Yeah.
So you plug a whole USB drive into your Xbox. Oh wow.
Right. And you install part of the game to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but,
I don't approve of this.
I don't like it either.
I don't care for that at all.
But I am playing Arkham City, because I was like, fuck this, I want to be Batman, so I should have played it.
How was it?
It's amazing. I've played it before, but, like, I'm, like, going back through it.
Oh, yeah. Arkham City, I thought we were talking about the new one, my bad. Origins, yes.
Yeah.
Which I didn't, if any fans want to buy it for me, I didn't get that for my birthday, so far. God, so insufferable.
What are you asking people for games?
I just am.
That's a despicable thing to do, Clayton.
Now wait a minute. I only know one other guy who's done that. He had a lot of success with it.
Clayton, what are you playing right now?
Saints Row 4 almost exclusively. Mm-hmm. A lot of those other games I beat in the meantime. I was playing a lot of NBA 2K13. I didn't really get to talk about it on the podcast.
Oh.
But I played so much of it over like a weekend. And I still kind of want to keep playing it.
On console?
No, on the PC with a gamepad.
Nice.
Because, yeah, the fucking mouse and keyboard controls are insanely terrible. It's so fun. It's so fun. And I was so bad at it.
Yeah.
That I wound up just hacking the game and giving myself all the skill points I could get. And I was still terrible at it. Like, it didn't make that big a difference. I was like, God, what am I doing? So, yeah, that was frustrating.
And you showed me in Saints Row 4 how to romance people.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Funny. Are we talking, like, Witcher-style sex scenes, or are we talking basic cable nudity sex scenes?
We're talking none of the above, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's literally, like, you just say, like, hey, so-and-so, do you want to fuck? And they're like, yes. And then, it, like, they, like, either will walk off together or, yeah, like, yeah, start kissing and, like, fall on the floor. And then it just fades to black and then fades back in and you're, like, just hanging out again. Seems to have no bearing on the plot. But right, that hasn't stopped me from doing a lot of
it. No, I hear you.
In hopes that one of these things is going to get real sexy.
Yeah.
As for me, after the last podcast,
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like that,
sexy. I would like that. Oh.
JT was very aroused.
I was.
The entire time we were talking about
straight up boner,
scenes.
JT. Watch that.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah. I went full on. After everything Clayton linked to me about Beyond Two Souls, I decided to not wait with the like $30 of GameStop I had. Instead, I got a PSN card and a Steam card, and I just went full on indie. So I got
nice.
I got Unfinished Swan, Fez, and Papers, Please. I beat Unfinished Swan. It's very cool. Very, very interesting story. A lot of stuff about death. So, guys, yeah, if you wanna think about death, play Unfinished Swan.
I do like to think about that. But my own mind's not enough.
Right. You pitched a death podcast to me one yeah, time, which I still don't want to do.
I'm just saying, there's no reason we can't do both.
I played a little bit of Papers, Please. One thing I feel like you failed to mention, Clayton, is that is a fucking hard game. That is really hard.
It gets easier.
Maybe it's like you just have to get good at it. There's a learning curve.
There is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm sorry, but it is. It was the most addictive. It was so hard.
I forgot to mention something. I'm sorry. Speaking of hard shit, I've been playing Dark Souls too.
Yeah.
I got that from my 360. I started playing it in Texas, and I really fucking hooked on it. I can't play it right now because I get too mad.
Did you beat it, Clayton?
No,
me neither.
Not even close.
I couldn't do it.
I thought about hacking that one too.
It wouldn't do you any good. The game would punish you.
I know. I hate it so much. It's like, oh, but if I have a higher level, it's like doesn't make any
difference. No.
Bunch of bastards.
Right. I found a way to, like level up really quickly, so I did that a ton. It's this part where you're fighting, like, the ghosts of, like, warriors, like, basically, right, like, builds in the game, and then there's, like, a ledge you can go under, and they just run over the top and fall to their deaths, and then you get the experience for that. So I did that, like, 100 times, because, you know, I'm sad. And, yeah, that being said, I still couldn't kill some of those bosses.
Dude, they're so hard.
There is a sword at the beginning of the game you can get that, like, helps a bunch. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get killed to get it, so you want to make sure you don't have any souls. Oh. But it's, like, it's called, like, the straight sword. You get it from, like, one of the Drake corpses. My brother showed this to me because he's, like, way into it. But, yeah, it made the game a lot easier, but I'm still getting killed by the fucking gargoyle boss. I hate that fucking thing.
I hate that game so much.
Oh, is that the one on top of the church?
Yeah, and then another one shows up.
That's right.
And everyone online's like, I don't get it. Why is it so hard for you? And it's like, because it's a fucking hard game.
Can you summon the, like, Sun Guardian guy for them?
Yeah. But you have to be alive to do it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I also hated it when, like, people online would just show up in your game and murder you. Have you had that happen yet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fun, too. I kind of liked that, because I remember I knocked down the guy who came in.
When I was able to beat him, it was the best.
He fucking murdered me after that.
I think I got 1 out of 5. Yeah.
I think I talked about this on the show before. I was so mad, but I was also so exhilarated, because I had these two guys helping me in that gargoyle fight.
Oh, nice.
And these guys were, like, pros, and they had played a lot, and I was just kind of hanging back, like, thanks, friends! You know, like, I am pretending to be a child, because there's no other reason why I should be this bad at this game. And then this dude, and then it's like, you're being invaded or whatever, I'm like, oh, fuck, no. Oh, no. And I'm like, I know what happens next, because it happened to me before, and I just got straight up killed. But, like, this guy comes in, and I've never seen anything like it. He the first guy he just demolishes. Like, I think he just one hit kills him. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. Like, my friends just watching him get, like, murdered.
And he's probably like, wearing, like, hellish looking armor and stuff.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's like huge and he's like, looks like a Dark Knight that, like, it, like, raped another Dark Knight and, like,
just
absorbed him.
Spikes and shit.
He's the worst. And, yeah, then the other guy fares a little bit better.
Right.
Like, manages to take a few hits, but, like, gets his, like, shield. I see the shield get knocked away because his, like, his stamina's out. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And he tries to turn and run away.
That's dumb.
And, which is a bad idea. And the guy just backstabs him. I think he just panics. He was like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And then he just got backstabbed him, and he's dead. I'm like, okay. And then he just, like, starts. And I swear to God, like, I'm so dinky. I have, like, the lowest level armor. I'm like, well, have at this, fellow. I managed to backstab him one time, and it probably took off, like, a 16th of his health. Like, not even close. I'm like, well, that was. But it felt really good because I was like, yeah, I got him! And then he just gets back up and, like, throws a fireball at me and ignites and I'm dead. I'm like, okay, well, that wasn't fun, but it was kind of nice that I knocked him down.
Yeah, if I have, like, I don't know what kind of mood I'll have to be in to get back into that again. Have you guys played Demon's Souls at all?
I played a little on my brother's PS3, yeah.
Any good?
Yeah.
Comparatively?
It's very common.
Pretty similar.
Yeah, very similar.
I hear it gets harder the more you die,
I
didn't care
really
for.
The difficulty scales. Yeah, I don't think it does that in Dark Souls, but yeah.
I think it's not supposed to.
The more you die, the harder it gets?
Yeah.
Wow.
How stupid is that? I hate that idea.
It's made by From Software. That's people that just, like, love that shit.
I know.
Crazy Japanese people.
Mm. Yeah. We've disparaged the Japanese on this show.
We have so many times.
Oh, it's one of those.
Get into it.
Hey.
So besides it being Clayton's birthday, we have another announcement about Clayton. It was a very cool thing that happened through one of our previous guests. Clayton, through a previous guest, is now freelancing game reviews for a website.
Yay!
Holy shit. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, it was kind of random. Zach Mast, who was on the show before.
That's right.
His friend runs honestgamers.com.
Yes.
And he basically was like, Zach messaged me and Tim and was like, hey, this guy's looking for freelance reviewers. You guys should check it out. And I emailed the guy. I was like, hey, yeah, like, if you're looking for freelance reviewers, you know, I don't have any experience, but I run a game podcast with a friend of mine.
Oh, you run it, do you?
Yeah. I pay for everything. I co-host a game podcast because I anticipated this, and then I fucked it up without saying it just now. And yeah, so he was like, yeah, send me some writing samples, and I sent him the two reviews that they published on the site under my name.
Oh, did you just, like, whip them up real quick?
Yeah, and he loved them, and the one that I really had fun writing was my just obliterating how much I hate Alan Wake.
I loved that.
I was going to talk about that. Yeah.
Infuriating.
So you put out two reviews, one for Alan Wake and one for The Last of Us. Let's start with Alan Wake. You gave it a 2.0.
That's right, out of 10.
Yes, out of 10.
Wow.
I did not care for it.
I'm
a little harsh, though. I was being a little harsh.
So, in honor of Clayton's new gig, we're going to talk a little about video game journalism, something we haven't really covered, because we don't have experience in it, but we obviously look at video game websites a ton.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are some of the ones that you guys check? Like, I check them every day, at least.
Yeah. Me too.
I mostly go to usually Penny Arcade. It's one of my number one sources. I like it because the commentary is so strong.
Yeah,
I think Taiko's a really smart dude. I also like to check. I do not read Kotaku that much because I think Kotaku is kind of
Kotaku is like it's. I mean, it's blog format, and they don't. I don't know. It's hard to find things on the website.
The layout is so fucking hard on your eyes because it's like a mobile layout. And that was the stupidest thing Gawker ever did.
They have like intelligent articles and stuff like that, but sometimes it's just very difficult to even find anything. Yeah.
They usually point me towards mods I want.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all I use them for. It's like Far Cry 3 mod you'll really like. And I'm like, okay, yeah, thanks, Kotaku.
Honestly, though, dude, game trailers and giant...
I love game trailers.
Is great because it's objective, and it's just like, here's a video of what you want to see, and not like a bunch of like wading through content.
And they have, hands down, the best voiceover guy of any of the websites.
I never go to there.
Oh, no?
Oh, you should.
Also, like, if you're a fan of game history or, you know, want to learn about...
Screw Attack?
Screw Attack and the game trailers retrospectives are incredible.
Those are great.
I've watched all those. Just the Final Fantasy ones alone are really interesting. Oh, yeah. I was a huge fan of Podcast Beyond, which is an IGN podcast for a long time. I check IGN from time to time. It feels like the New York Times of...
it does.
At least the most... It's like the most polished, I would say, of all of them. But it is kind of a... I bounce back between the ones that are really... sort of have an editorial style, or and the ones that are like really objective. Like I like Screw Attack. I like Giant Bomb. You know,
oh, Giant Bomb rules, dude. They're, oh god,
Giant Bomb's my favorite.
That's one of mine too.
My main problem with IGN is that I feel like they just go really easy on like bigger name games,
AAA titles.
I mean, like they give like Uncharted 3 a 10 out of 10, which is like that's sure,
it's a great game.
It's a great game. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Like it's just one of those things. It's like, well, this is a perfect game.
I mean, that's the thing. Like to start this conversation, like there's no such thing as like a truly objective review, right?
Right. Right.
Like
because it's your opinion.
Well, it's someone's opinion. Yeah.
Right. That being said. Whatever resource you check, you're always sort of subjected to this person or this group of people's opinions. But, like, you gave Last of Us a 10. What to you was, like, this makes it a 10? Because there are, I think of some games as 10s that have imperfections. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think, because I've talked about this on the podcast before, like, the story is really what I come to video games for most of the time. It was, I think when I started to parse out all the pieces of The Last of Us, I realized how incredibly well crafted it is.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about, like, and I've talked about this before, like, the environment design is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I specifically referenced this in the review, but it's like, there's the part where you're in a liquor store, and it's like, I've been in a liquor store thousands of times in games, I never was actually convinced I was in a liquor store.
You get the feeling in this game you're in a liquor store.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking liquor store. It doesn't look like the painted bottles on the walls, you know, like... I seriously was like, wow, this is fucking Binny's, or, you know, this is like a real liquor store. And it just kind of blew my mind, and I started looking at other stuff, like the subway tunnel is something I also referenced in my review, because it was like, this doesn't feel like just a straight shot Halo 2, you're just going through the tunnel, because it's from point A to point B. It was like, no, there's like side rooms, there's like collapsed struts, it's just shit like that you just don't ever see in any game. They don't pay that much attention to that shit. Or like, there's a part where you're in like a governor's mansion, I think, or the Capitol building.
Oh, yes, yeah, it's where the girl dies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tess.
Yes.
Yeah, have you played the JT?
You motherfucker.
Retroactive spoiler alert.
But yeah, it's like, yeah, that just, it's like, wow, what a cool, weird place to set something. Yeah. And I still felt very, like, tense, even in, like, the suburban parts. The suburban parts are really fucking scary.
Oh, yeah, and I would even just say that's, I feel like, the best intro I've ever played to a game, too.
Oh, my God,
that just, it simultaneously, like, sets you up for how this world is going to be, and destroys you emotionally, like, right away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also sets up, like, what the deal is with, like, the narration. Because it's like, you start as one character, it passes off to another character. You know, it's like, it feels like this kind of, there's no set, like, main character necessarily. Right. Which helps you to kind of stay a little bit objective with Joel, which helps to add to his kind of brutality when he does, like, really messed up stuff.
Right.
Which he does. I mean, he shoots a guy in the dick at one point. Yeah, and it's like...
I still think that's a gut shot. I still think that's a gut shot.
That's not where the gun is. The gun... They show you the gun against the guy's dick, and then you show the face, and the guy's fucking face when Joel shoots him is like, Oh my god, my dick just got shot.
Dude, in the fucking trailer for the game when it was being debuted at E3, when he puts the shotgun in the guy's face.
Oh, that was brutal.
And the guy yells, no, don't! I was like,
and
whoa!
It didn't even go to black. Like, you see the fucking brains come out a little bit. Yeah,
yeah, and then it goes to, like, The Last of Us.
Yeah.
It's just, it's such a brutal, like, beautiful game.
Yeah.
And I actually, while I was writing it, I realized how much I loved, like, the way they dealt with Ellie through the whole game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, wow, she has so much more depth than most video game characters. Certainly, like females in games get underwritten, children in games get underwritten big time.
Yeah.
Because it's always like, well, they have one point of view because they haven't lived as long as us. It's like, well, that's a stupid idea, but...
She seems like she's going to be the best Ellen Page character of 2013 in video games. I think so. But, other end of the spectrum... What made Alan Wake a 2? I've not actually played the game. Yeah. I've watched some of it.
Did you like Alan Wake? I think we talked about that. Okay.
I did not like Alan Wake.
That's what I thought.
This is like the Stephen King-ish like Twin Peaks Xbox 360 game.
It is, yeah, it is. Yeah.
It infuriates me that game.
It had a lot of hype.
Yeah.
So you're battling shadow monsters. This is what I know.
Yeah, which are the exact shape of people, but, like, easier to create.
And slower and made of shadows.
They're made of shadows. They're super vulnerable to light and gunshots.
That's right, that's right.
I fucking did that. I was like, oh, this is what I'm going to do the whole fucking game. I have to do this the whole game.
Now, that's exactly how I felt 5 seconds in. I was like, no, that can't be it.
I was like, this is boring, first of all. Yeah.
There was, like, a... Correct me if I'm wrong, there was like a sort of a light world, dark world element to it, like Silent Hill-ish almost.
Yeah,
yeah, but
the dream thing.
Yes,
yeah.
The whole thing is like, okay, it starts with
spoiler alert, whatever,
whatever. Yeah.
The tutorial, you're not gonna play
this game sucks. Don't worry if you're listening.
The tutorial for the game, like, bored me to tears.
Yeah.
And they, because it's like, you start out, it's shadowy, it's dark, it's, I guess, kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not super scared, but whatever. It's the beginning of the game. Right. I'm sure they're going to get me there. Immediately, like, this, like, light beam comes out of the sky, and, like, God or whoever with Alan Wake's voice is like, Alan, don't be afraid. And I'm like, no problem. Like, I'm already there.
Nothing to scare me.
It's just a bunch of shadows running around me, yeah. It's like, you remember the beginning to Eternal Darkness?
Where, like,
you have a bunch of monsters attacking you, and you have a shotgun, and you're, like, shooting.
That game is fucking awesome, by the way.
Well, yeah, the intro just goes, like, scene to scene, and you're, like, freaking out, kind of.
Yeah,
you have a sanity meter the whole game.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
such a
from
great
moment
game.
One.
Yeah.
Because you're getting overwhelmed and, like, about to get killed.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it, like, it saves you. It was, I think, trying to do that, but they were like, well, that's not actually, like, you know, overwhelm them. So instead, it's just like, you, oh, what's going on? It's so dark. Don't be afraid, Alan. And it's like, wait, but I didn't even have time to process this world. And then it's like, and they use that as the, like, model for the tutorial to be like, go ahead and walk into the light. And it's like, press forward to walk. And I'm like, oh, my fucking God. So I'm already like, oh, boy, this is going to be a long trip. And I walk forward, get into the light, and it's like, great job. Really, really, so far you are really nailing this. And it's like, pick up the gun. Oh, fuck, awesome. Like, you get a flashlight and a gun right away. You shine the flashlight on the enemies. They start, like, kind of burning up, and then they get vulnerable, and then you just shoot them, and they die. And that's it.
It's, yeah, it's
and
such
that's
a
the game
boring...
Play.
I mean, compare that to Arkham City's combat, where, like, the combat is fucking hard, it's free-flowing,
it's
exciting
it's
to
varied.
Get around. It's very, very... You can use gadgets, like...
Yeah.
You can,
and yes.
You have some enemies that are, like, different, harder to kill. And I think I did get to the point where it started, like, it's like, this guy takes, like, 5 shots to kill. And I was like, oh, mercy me. But then they had the boss fight.
Yeah.
Which is about where I started to get, like, man, I don't know how much more of this game I can take. Yeah, because it was, like, boss fight. Okay, cool. And it's a guy with a chainsaw. I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to be pretty intense. I'm ready for this guy. And man, I had no idea how right I was. Because, like, they have these fucking, like, wooden stacks. Because
right.
a lot of it's also about, like, you could just see the enemies coming from so far away, I feel like. Like, it's maybe like, I'm wrong about
no,
that.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Like, it's just, you could see him coming. It's like, well, I got plenty of time to, like, line up a shot and
right.
kill him.
Did you guys beat it?
No.
I didn't care enough.
I didn't either. Because I wasn't going to buy an Xbox 360 for Alan Wake. But in terms of, because I liked some of the hype they were throwing out when it first
too.
Came
yeah,
out.
Yeah. It sounded great.
It sounded awesome.
But then, because I watched some of it on YouTube, and I think one of the moments where I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Was there's a moment where he is in a dream sequence where he's watching himself on a late night talk show. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah.
And he's like talking about how, oh, well, at least I was funny. And I was just like, this is not a video game at this point. Like, I don't even know what I'm watching right now.
Mm.
It might have been towards the end. But yeah, super weird. But
I think they wanted to go for that, like, you're kind of feeling more, like, you're going more and more insane or something, but it just never worked.
Yeah.
Because, like, people would get killed, and then they'd be like, well, that guy's dead, and it's like, well, fucking, then, I'm not insane then, something
right,
had to kill
right,
him.
Right, yeah.
Well, and just the relationship with his wife is what made me so
really...
fucking angry, because
oh,
it was
that's
like,
right.
well, it was like the scene in Terminator Salvation where, you know, I hate that movie, and this is why I'm using this analogy, because there's a scene where Christian Bale and Bryce Dallas Howard, like, meet his husband and wife, and all they do is just spout out, like, gruffly whispered exposition.
Yeah.
And that's what that fucking game does, and it drives me insane. It's like, hey, take a picture of me standing against this bland backdrop, and that's the emotional connection to the game. It's like, fuck you. They're going to be kind of fighting about something if they're on a fucking trip together, you know?
That's why I like some of the Uncharted dialogue. Like, these two people are attracted to each other, but people who are in love are attracted to each other still joke around or make fun
exactly.
of each other, you know, things like that, you know?
Look at, like, Red Dead Redemption or Deus Ex 3.
Right.
Both of those games were a great example of, like, how to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
My absolute favorite part of the wife Alan Wake relationship was when, like, I think she just says, like, it was like, hey, you're working on your new book? And he's like, I told you not to bring that up! And he, like, walks out of the house. I was like, what the fuck? Like, it's the thinnest of... Like, I guess you could take that as an insult. And he walks out, and that's when his, like, wife gets kidnapped or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to go find her. And I'm like, the fuck? Like, clearly you didn't give a shit about this lady. If that's enough to, like, it's like, that's it. I am out of here.
The sequel to the game starts out with her being like, would you like some coffee on? And he's like, would you like some coffee on? And she, like, slams the door.
That's what you sound
like.
I hope you die! Like, oh, man. They feel like children. Like, they really do.
Yeah.
It's... they are less developed than, like, Ellie's character. And, I mean, they're less developed than, like, the gay, like, hoarder in fucking The Last of Us. Like, that guy.
Oh, yes.
Like, that guy had more emotional depth.
Bill,
he's in,
right?
Like, yeah, he's in, like, 2 minutes of the game.
Right.
But, like, these two are just like, oh, my God. Like, the woman is like, her thing is that she's afraid of the dark. And it's like, I could give a fuck. Like, and who has that? Like... It's like, it's caused by a childhood trauma I'm gonna suspiciously not elaborate on. Oh, Jesus.
I know what you mean about, getting back to IGN, I know what you mean about their reviewing system, because, like, I feel like if you're a AAA game, you're gonna get, like, an 8. And that kind of bugs me in game reviews nowadays. Because I feel like everybody gets between 7 and a 9. And there is something that I really like about, oh, I get this. There's a lot of personalities in this game journalism. Angry Video Game Nerd or whoever
Adam
you want.
Sessler,
yeah.
Like,
yes. Greg, the guy at IGN. Anyways.
Sure.
Yeah, that guy. had them film. Anyways.
Wait, is it Greg Kasavin? Is
no. Writers. Write something on our Facebook wall. Anyways. There is something to be said about, like, oh, this guy has been in tune with my views about video games for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If he says it's good, I'll probably enjoy it.
That's,
you know?
Brad Shoemaker from Giant Bomb for me.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah, he's
nails
great.
It every time.
Yeah. I was trying to think of, like, because there are, in my opinions, like, there are games where I would give it an absolute 10 in one area, like gameplay. Like,
yes.
To me,
yeah.
Resident Evil 4 is like a 10 in gameplay.
Absolutely,
like,
yeah.
It is really good.
No other Resident Evil comes close. It's like a perfect action game. Not really survival horror, but I don't mind that, because it is what it, you know. But, like, I just feel like I am Leon in that game. Like, I know every move. It's perfect, in my opinion. flimsiest fucking story. Like, bad puns and shit, and, you know.
And you have to, like, the scenes where you have to protect Ashley are like,
oh, it's so annoying with like, all the monks and shit. I hate that part.
Yes.
The guys who sound like they're saying modern STDs over and over again.
That's right.
So weird. What is their chant? I don't understand it.
Oh, well, they're usually chanting profanity, I found out.
Is that right?
My little brother, like, my youngest brother, his best friend was, like, playing this game. He was like, they're saying some bad words.
In what language?
I believe it's Spanish. I think it's Spanish. Yeah. But yeah, they're saying, like, we're going to fuck you up and stuff like that. I don't know.
I thought it was something like Latin and, like, hellish or something like that. No.
Yeah.
We're going to fuck you up.
We're going to fuck you up. But yeah, another great intro where, like, you're just in that village.
Yeah.
And those zombies are just coming. You got to, like, brace stuff against the walls and everything. But that one makes me think, like, well, okay. I would recommend that game to anyone, but how much can you excuse on a 10? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how much glitches or whatever? Like, in my mind, when I just think about it, like, Skyrim is still a 10, like, as an experience.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it had huge problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like, it's there's so much to be said for, like, what is the point? You know, like, what's the
what
point
is this
of getting
game going for, too?
Yeah. Yeah. If it's like, if it accomplishes what it sets out to do, it's like, it's probably going to get a really high review.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it Spec Ops The Line is a great example.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Like, gets, oh, man.
What an emotionally affecting
game. Yes.
It fucked me up really bad when I was playing. I was like, whoa, man, I feel really weird. But at the same time, it'd be like, God damn, contextual, like, commands. This is a pain in the ass. It was just hard. Like, stuff that gets in the way. Like, that's the barrier between you and the experience.
But we all wish every, like, 15-year-old kid who says horrible things on multiplayer would just play that game.
Yeah.
Like, I would absolutely,
And not play the multiplayer, which they include for some reason.
Yeah.
Right. But no, I totally agree. It is about, like, communicate, like, getting across what you want to get across. Like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, you're not judging that on the story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
But some of those N64 games were, like, perfect party games. And that's all it really needed to be, you know?
Oh,
I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also, but yeah, I guess so much of it does come down to just, like, your personal preference. Like, I would never give any Tony Hawk game a 10 because it's like, I don't even want to be playing this. You know, it's like NBA 2K13. I'm probably not going to give that a 10, but I'd give it, like, a higher review than I'd probably expected to, because I was like, fuck this game. Like, I had no interest in this.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, that's such a good point, though. How much do you let it get away with? Because it's like, I could never give Spec Ops The Line a 10.
Right.
No. Yeah.
But I don't want to, but I can't give it a 5 either, even though it probably deserves it.
Like, like a high 8, I don't know.
Yeah, like, exactly. Because I loved it so
much. What are you grading at that point? Is it, like, the emotional, like, effect that it had on me? Or, like, yeah, I don't know. I guess it's still going back to, like, what it was trying to get across and how well it did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, I think on Giant Bomb they gave Arkham City, like, 4 out of 5 stars. And they were like, even though they loved it, it's like, this game is great. Like, it's so, so great because it's more Batman. But
yeah,
the thing it didn't make as big a leap
as,
you know, like, Uncharted 2, huge leap.
Mass Effect 2, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
Huge leaps, yeah.
But it's like, this just didn't really do that. They knew they had a good thing, and they just kind of pushed it further.
They refined the formula.
Yeah, and now Arkham Origins
it's
is
the
getting,
same
like,
review. Yeah,
yeah, like, I mean, it's even less of a step forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm a fan of, you know, kind of shitty and repetitive as they are, the Dynasty Warrior games, where it's like, you just hack and slash, and every review that comes out for the new one is like, look, you know what this is. If you like it, you're going to like it. If not, you know, there's better archery. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's better archery. How much archery do you use in Dynasty Warriors?
Yeah.
I chose the character that was a bit more of a strategy guy. Oh, God.
Yeah, get it.
Get the one with the biggest weapon.
Yeah, they can just swing.
Last time I played one of those, I picked the guy with the rifle, because I was like, you know what? I've never done this before.
The rifle!
Just shooting people. Yeah. Just going around shooting people.
I picked the sniper.
I don't know. I guess, like, my criteria for what makes a perfect 10 game is if it's got a big story... that the mechanics don't get in the way of that, but they're still smooth and challenging enough to where you can get through the story, but it's enough of like of a difficult game, you know? Yeah,
I'm trying to think of like, there's got to be like indie examples of 10s, like, I felt, you know, it's still pretty intense gameplay, but like, Journey, I feel like I would recommend to anybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah, oh, it's so good. Bastion.
Bastion, for sure.
Bastion was great.
Braid, probably?
Braid's great.
Yeah.
Braid is so frustrating.
Braid is incredible. I would not give Braid a 10, actually. Braid is so fucking hard.
It's I forgot how hard that game was, and so Nicole was playing through it, and we got to puzzles, and I was like, I beat this. I don't remember how to do it. I'm mad. I'm getting mad.
No, you do give, like, reviews or games points for innovating like that.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What I mean? Yeah.
That's also a big part of it, isn't it? It's like, I might not give Chrono Trigger a 10 now, but at the time, holy shit. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think with Skyrim, too, the scope of Skyrim's ambition was so largely achieved that, you know, you could overlook any of those, like, minor technical flaws because it'd be patched out, usually.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. Like, we now have games that are even bigger than Skyrim, and... But I think what they did was they did a great job of really, like, maybe this is part of the marketing, like, really drawing us into that world.
Oh,
you know, like, the experience is less about the plot or the Civil War or anything like that. It's more like you can walk in a direction and something's going to happen.
That's one of the best things about it. I mean, like, I could sit down right now in front of my computer and pick Skyrim up like no... Like,
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah. Like a couple weeks ago I talked about it. Yeah.
Probably do that tonight, actually.
Yeah. Fuck,
I remember,
why not?
Yeah. Like, I remember beating it and, like, going off and I was like, I haven't, like, researched the corners of the map.
Yeah.
And there were, like, 8 or 10 missions that I haven't played.
So good.
It's such a fucking great game. Oh my god.
Now, you're not quite in this sort of problem. Sorry, remind me of the website's name.
Honest Gamers.
Honest Gamers.
Check it out, folks.
check that shit out.
Let me double check the name. No.
Some of these game companies, it feels like they really hold their reputation up into these game reviews. Mm-hmm. Like, if they are off the scale from what the rest of them are reviewing it at, like, there's sort of a median in terms of when games come out, it's looked as like a black mark on their record.
Yeah.
But you're in a great position now, because it seems like with this website, people are still figuring out what it is, or at least, you know, you don't have to worry about sponsorships or whatever, that kind of shit.
You don't have to worry about, about them pulling an IDUS with GameStop, like with GameSpot and Jeff Gerstmann.
Oh,
what
yeah.
is this?
Remember that?
That's how Giant Bomb started.
That's right.
Yeah, because...
Gerstmann Gate.
Gerstmann Gate. For anybody that doesn't know, what happened was he gave Kane and Lynch a bad review.
Which, come on.
This is a pretty bad fucking game.
In hindsight, it's like, how could you possibly defend...
Didn't they make a sequel to that,
The
too?
Sequel actually had kind of a badass trailer, though. It was done like an art crime movie, but the movie... The game sucked, but...
Of course it did.
Yeah. I mean, look at the fucking title, but...
Right.
But, like, yeah, he got fired, basically, for giving it a bad review, and what was on GameSpot's website... I keep getting those two confused. What was on GameSpot's website that day? Like, fucking Kane and Lynch banners, like, everywhere, like, you know.
I heard a similar story about that, where, it was, like, it might have been when, what was the TV station? G4?
Yeah.
When G4 was on, there was this woman who's, they were all going around, like, what do you think is going to be the most overrated game of this, this season, and one of the people said Dead Island, and they were
to
like,
their credit.
Yeah, I know. They were like, okay, well, this portion is sponsored by Dead Island.
I mean, like, you're going to get to a point where it's like, this game's pretty awesome, but this game's real awesome, you know? You
right.
get to decide how much more fun you're going to have with either game, you know?
Well, it is one of those things of, like, when you're on the 1 to 10 scale, a 6 is basically a 2. Like, it's the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you come out with a AAA title and gets a 6, you know, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also one of those things of, like, but no one rates anything a fucking 2.
No.
Like, I mean, other than
that came
me,
out of pure hatred for, yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things of, like, you'll see that on, like, a shitty iPhone game or, like
Hell's Angels, that fucking horrible game, yeah.
Oh, Ride to Hell?
Right. No, it was, like, the Hell, you play, like, a Hell's Angels.
That's a real fucking game?
It's a real fucking game.
Wait, like, you play as a Hell's Angel?
Yeah, you play as one of the Hell's Angels, which they were, like, issue number 1. That's That's a huge fucking problem.
Why would you do that?
Because you want kids to buy your games, you know?
Hell's Angels, they're pretty well liked.
You get a kid, his dad likes American Chopping, my fucking kid's been playing Grand Theft Auto, put them together. Oh my
God. There's a really great sexual assault part in that game.
Yeah, actually, pretty. That's the other thing about the game. It's real misogynistic. Oh, no. It's like real gross about women.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. There was like a Blackwater game.
Yeah, like
where you play as a black.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you play as like a Blackwater like mercenary, and you're
Jesus.
You are like just straight up killing like racial stereotypes of Middle Eastern people.
Was that supposed to be like almost propaganda-y? Or
yeah, ugh. It straight up just was, and it was. I think like. I think Giant Bomb may have reviewed it. Hilarious. They're like, I mean, it was nicer than to make, like, one Middle Eastern character that you kill 5,000 times.
God.
They just look exactly like just these clones. It's so fucking weird.
Oof.
But one reviewer I really go back to a lot and I often disagree with, but I still really like, is Yahtzee Crenshaw.
Yeah, I feel the same way about him.
Yeah. From Escapist.
Punctuation. Yeah.
Yeah, zero punctuation. Yeah. God damn. He is hilarious. He's often, in my opinion, wrong. But sometimes, like, the thing is, Spec Ops The Line, like, got, like, a 3-star review on Giant Bomb I never would have thought about. But he's like, seriously, you gotta at least check this game out. Like, he named it, like, the number one game of the year.
Yeah.
And it's like, not because I think it's the best, but because I think it's the game everyone should play.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck is this game?
Well, he oftentimes brings up, like, his issues with, like, Call of Duty games, where it's like, you're basically murdering brown people the whole time, right. You know? And I think that's something good that he does, you know?
He didn't like The Last of Us, which really surprised me, yeah.
Wow.
He was like, I don't like this game because it feels like these two people got away with something they shouldn't have gotten away with. And, like, he didn't like the characters by the end because they just go around fucking murdering everybody. And I'm like, well, to be fair, that's every video
game.
But
that's also, not to argue, like, he, you know, it's his review, but it's like, that is the world they're in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, and also, like, I think it's a testament to that game that it affected him emotionally, you know what I mean?
Exactly. But yeah, he even made the point of, like, listen, I didn't want to not like this game. I wanted to like it because I knew how much fucking hate mail I was going to get as I was losing it. I was like, he's like, oh boy, I'm starting to not like this game. That's no good for me. But yeah, I mean, it's true, though. You know, it's like, it's just nice to have a dissenting opinion.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I played Black Ops 2 over Christmas break and beat it, and was just by the end, I was like, this game is bullshit!
Yeah.
There's so much wrong with it for the same... Yeah,
I mean, and that, when you brought up Chrono Trigger not holding up, too, I've talked about this a little bit on the show. I played GoldenEye recently, and it feels like trash. Like, just playing it.
Well, the control scheme is designed for that shitty
completely
N64
different.
Controller.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Which made me think, like, there really are games that don't really hold up. Like, the one that they always talk about at IGN is they gave GTA 4 a 10, which I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'd agree with that one nowadays.
I mean, as much as I love GTA 4 and the protagonist especially, I think Niko Bellic is very fascinating. I agree with you. Like, there are some parts that are real fucking clunky. And driving is shit.
Padding and, you know. Yeah.
God, driving was fucking terrible.
It's hard in that. Your cars were like, had styrofoam in the fucking wheel wells.
I'm trying to think the ones that still really do hold up as 10s, though. Like, I don't play games like it anymore, but yeah, I'd still think Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI are like, again, it's sort of like, what are the games that I would just tell people to play?
Oh man,
Metal Gear Solid, absolutely. It's kind of like at that point, like the controls. Yeah, I mean, if they're really bad, like GoldenEye, I get it. But these are like iconic games. I feel like everybody should play.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's always just kind of like, how did you feel when you finished it? How did you feel when you were playing it? You know, something like that. You can't really take the, like, I thought about it for a few days, and then I felt this way. It's like, well, yeah, obviously, like, when you realize, hey, I spent fucking 40 hours on that game, and it's going to be a little depressing. No matter how you slice it. But, yeah, it's just, it's that, like, what was the actual experience of playing it like?
Yeah.
Was that a 10?
Yeah.
Or was it, like, you were kind of bored, or whatever it is.
If the, like, wonderment or the fear of the game, like, whatever they're going for, if that gets you to not notice, like, shitty cell shading or whatever,
yeah.
then it's done its job.
That's exactly. why I would give Earthbound a solid 10.
Sure.
Earthbound always gets a 10 in my book because it was one of the most emotionally affecting games that I've ever played.
Yeah, and on a system where they couldn't do much with, you know, graphics really or, you know, yeah.
It was all the music and the writing pretty right. much, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I also got Shadowrun Returns. Bought that today.
I have some conflicting opinions because I love Shadowrun.
I really want it to be good, but I know it's not.
For an assignment or just for birthday?
I bought it for myself, actually, because it was on sale.
Oh, nice.
They're like $13, and I was like, what the hell, folks?
Dude.
Why not? Let's live a little!
The world is really cool. The world is so fucking cool, but some of the execution's pretty bad.
Is it a retelling of the original SNES?
Brand new story. Yeah, set in that kind of universe. Like, I'm kind of a nerd about that shit because I love that world a lot.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
you know, yeah, like, it's like, yeah, basically it's the next step. But it's in the same setting as the SNES one, same time period and everything.
Well, before we go, you know what we should do? I just want to go around a few more times and name some more tens. Is that cool?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start this off.
I always hate this. I'm so bad at it.
We'll go around twice. Again, like, huge problems with this game, but for me, in my brain, and what I like out of video games, Suikoden 2, for me, is an absolute 10. And it's the first, in my opinion, the one that did, like, an epic war story in a role-playing game really well. JT.
Well, we've already said Skyrim. I was going to say Skyrim, but I will say Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hmm. Yeah. Both are great. Both are so good. I'm gonna chuck it over to Final Fantasy VII.
Okay, buddy.
Which is I know people have problems with it, and I probably would too. But goddamn it, like I was so emotionally fucked up. Sure. By that game. It's so good. There's so many great parts to it. I was actually replaying it recently, the HD version, or like the, not the HD that, version, yeah. but like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, yeah. JT. JT knows what I'm talking about.
I knew what you were talking
I showed it to you.
They're called video games, Tim.
But yeah, that game, I mean, spoiler alert, I guess, like Aeris scene, or Aerith.
Whatever.
Like, death was so, like, still to this day, I can't comprehend how upsetting that was for my young brain. I couldn't handle it.
I feel like that's a go-to for what game you cried at. Maybe it says something about me. I just didn't believe she was dead.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, no, she's going to come back. There's no possible way.
When he puts her in the water, that's, like, the hardest thing to watch.
I'll get to my next one, but Clayton, could you hand me the power cord?
Yeah. Oh, God.
A little backstage
There's
stuff.
No time. Will we make it, folks? Oh, Lord.
Oh, we made it.
We made it.
Thank goodness.
Oh, thank God.
By strife.
Oh,
overcome.
Boy.
Cloud strife.
Oh, yes, my God.
Get out.
What are we doing?
Get
what
out.
Am I doing right now?
This is a modern one. I don't talk about it at ton, but I really, when I was playing it, I was like, I think this is a perfect game for what they're going for, and that's Portal 2.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Humor, the story, gameplay, everything. It just, it's actually still not powering. Is it plugged in?
Nope. Did we make it?
We made it.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I think that one is gonna stand the test of time for you know, a very long time.
Yeah.
I'll replay that. Anytime.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually just playing some of that the other day when I was sort of bored and in between games. I was like, you know what? Let's go back to this. And GLaDOS and the potato is still fucking funny. And she gets mad and she'll, like, switch off because she doesn't have the battery power for it.
JT.
Deus Ex.
Oh, the original.
The original.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seems corny at first, but then when you get into the meat of the game, it's fucking awesome experience. Toss it between that and BioShock.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, when you're talking about environments that just, like, really create an amazing world, BioShock all the way, from the moment you set foot in Rapture. Also, they're coming out with a re-release of Deus Ex Machina, or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, it just came out, yeah.
It's the director's cut, so did they just fix all the problems?
Yeah, Human Revolution?
Yeah,
they fixed Human Revolution.
I think, they kind of just revamped a couple things.
Yeah. Clayton, your third one?
Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, amazing. Yes. Yeah.
Though, if you go back, the camera is real fucked up in that game. But I honestly, when I first played it, I never noticed.
Yeah,
never,
and that's...
Never even occurred to me.
You know, before there even was really an indie market of game, that was the go-to, like, video games are art. Example. Yeah. Brilliant game. JT, thanks so much for being on the show, man.
Thank you for having me, fellas. I appreciate it.
If people want to see you not talk about video games, but... do comedy in Chicago. Where can they see you?
They can see me on Wednesday nights at the Playground Theater at 8 o'clock. We are doing a play that Gregot's buddy Randy wrote.
Oh, nice.
My team, Dog's Best Friend. Yeah.
Very cool. Clayton?
You can see me at I.O. with the late 90s. Why did I... I forgot the name of my team I've been on. We just had our four-year anniversary show.
Four years.
We didn't market it as such, but that we all knew it was like, this is on the exact same date we had our first show 4 years ago. That was fun. And we also had, wait, what am I talking about? I'm also on Hijinks, so, the pub theater. We just had our second show, and that was a lot of fun. I played Captain Dirk Daniels, a crazy space cannibal rapist by the end of the show. Most fun I've ever had playing a character I didn't write myself.
Oh, I thought you were going to say playing a rapist.
Second most fun I've ever had. Yeah, no, it was a fun time. We're going to do another show fourth Saturday of November, so check that out. Yes. I don't remember the dates and won't look it up. also, take that, people who want to see that show. And also, Big Yellow Bus every Thursday at the Playground, 8 p.m. Check it out.
You can see me with Shock Tees around town, Coup de Grâce at I.O., and yeah, that's it. Clayton, oh wait, JT, again, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having
now,
me.
Now, Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
I got the bone!
Bye, everybody.